Hi, folks. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour. For those of us who watch city politics, you know that Portland is beginning to embark on a great experiment, a pretty radical change in how the city council and mayor operate. That's because the city charter requires the city to set up every 10 years a charter commission appointed by the city council and tasked with evaluating the performance of city government and making a proposal about necessary changes. The Charter Commission appointed 2 years ago did just that. They developed a sweeping proposal that, of course, had to be voted on. And it won a stunningly big 58% of the votes. What did it do? Well, a lot. It set up a new position of city manager to run all the city agencies. It thus removed council members from running agencies. And without that duty, they could, we could expect them at least to concentrate on keeping watch on city performance. And if necessary, lean on the agencies, talk to the city manager and mayor, or write new city laws and regulations. It also changed the mayor position, gave him, her, they, the mayor, a responsibility to prepare a city budget to supervise the new city manager, and to break ties when the city council was split down the middle. My guess is that the city manager and the mayor will have to have a close relationship if the city is to work. The proposal's final major change, it greatly expanded the city council. Today it has 5 voting members, including the mayor. It will, after the next election, have 12 councilors, 3 from each of 4 districts, whose residents vote only for the city council candidates from their district. So Mike Alfoni, executive director of Oregon Ranked Choice Voting, welcome to KBOO.
Thanks for having me, Bill. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk today.
Mike, tell us first, what's ranked choice voting? How does it work? Why so many cities in the state of Alaska have switched to it, its advantages? Then we can get to why city elites, the people who ran things in this city for a long time, why they, in fact, will be trying to find it most difficult to stomach and try to nullify it. So why did Portland vote for it?
Great. So I think I'll start with the how it works. So ranked choice voting is a form of voting that's actually been used for a very long time. For election nerds like me, a fun fact is that it's been in Oregon's constitution actually as an option since 1908. So it's just, this is something that's been tried and true. It's used all over the world. It's used in a lot of organizations, cities, and now states in America as well. And the way it works basically is that you get your ballot, and when there's multiple candidates running for an office, you are allowed to rank them in the order of preference. And if your first choice can't win, then your vote will count for your second choice. And there's a process there that continues until somebody wins with 50% or more of the vote. And that's called single winner ranked choice voting. That's how we'll be electing the mayor, for example. And what we found is that this allows voters more choices. Right now people often feel like they need to choose between the lesser of two evils. You know, I think a common example that everyone can relate to is recent presidential primaries where there's, 13 people running and you might have a favorite, but you know that favorite's not going to win. So you have to choose between, quote, throwing your vote away for that favorite or voting for a candidate that you like less but might be more, quote, viable. Ranked choice voting solves that problem. And the effects of that are that we see more people, like a more diverse group of people running for office. Voters like it better once they've used it because they feel like they can have more choice at the ballot, and it gives more people more voice and more power at the ballot, essentially. And it's been more effective in electing people and, governmental bodies that are actually more reflective of the populations that they represent.
Portland has a fairly novel form, though, of ranked choice voting. Why don't you tell us about it?
So broadly, I think the most important thing to look at up front is that there's 2 different types of ranked choice voting. There's single winner, which I just explained, and then there's one known as multi-winner ranked choice voting, or also known as proportional representation. And the first and most important point is that on the front end, on your ballots, these will look the same. You have candidates running for an office, and then you rank them in order of preference. The difference is that with proportional representation or multi-winner ranked choice voting, more candidates win in a race. So in the new districts that are coming out in Portland, voters will be electing three people to those offices instead of one using ranked choice voting. The math and the counting is a little different behind the scenes, but essentially it's done in a way that ensures that it is the most reflective body possible for the people that turned out to vote in that election. And we've seen it used in other cities in America. Back in the day, it was actually something that those in power campaigned against because it was electing much more diverse bodies. It was electing people of color, it was electing people with different viewpoints than the major parties wanted, and so they got rid of it. So the only place today that's been using it for a long time still is Cambridge, although other places across the country are starting to adopt it as well. I believe including Portland, Maine, who uses it in their city elections and then uses single winner statewide.
Yeah, and in ranked choice voting, you don't get unpopular candidates winning election. Like the last election in Portland, it produced a victory for Ted Wheeler, who was extremely unpopular. It's just that he led with a minority of the votes, the two candidates who were critical of him. That could not happen under ranked choice voting. That's obvious.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you can't predict what would have happened in past elections if we'd used ranked choice voting, because I think one of the things that we found in our research is that with ranked choice voting, because campaigns are less negative, because people are competing for second and third choice as well as first, so nobody wants to be the jerk in the room, right? What we see is that a lot more people from different backgrounds run. So it'll change the type of candidates that we're getting, and it'll also change the like tone of the campaigns. And I think to your point, too, it's not only great for voters, but like, honestly, it's much easier to govern if you win with over 50% of the vote. It sort of hobbles our elected officials when they do win in a scenario with like 40% of the vote, because, you know, they don't have a mandate then. And so it sort of helps both voters and, you know, elected officials in terms of like having more choice, and for the elected official being able to better do their jobs.
Yeah, my sense is, comment on this, that ranked choice voting permits, invites a much larger set of kind of larger policy choices of what kind of city we want to live in. And even if some of those candidates are not elected the first time they come into the system, or the second or third, they can make those arguments in the city and the election. And the electors, that is the citizens of the city, get a much larger, it seems to me, it's a much greater portrait of possibilities than we do under the current system, where we often get just two choices and we have to vote lesser evil. Here we can vote for, and it makes then the candidates who are talking about a far more democratic kind of society and a far more equal one, they can begin enlarging their vote and becoming a real force in the city, even if they don't win the election. And in some cases, they may.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the system that Portland adopted is especially good at this. When I think what we'll see is that communities that are, you know, not able to have a real say in government now because they're not the majority group will have a voice at the table by expanding the city council size, by dividing the city up into districts and then electing three people per district. I think what we're going to see is a much more varied group of people that represent a much more closely aligned with the population in Portland as it exists. I know that one of the major pieces of this is that we wanted to ensure that there was more equitable representation for communities of color and more representation geographically. For example, traditionally, almost none of, if no city councilor has ever been elected from East Portland. With the new system in place, that will happen.
This is Bill Resnick, KBOO Radio 90.7, Portland, Oregon, for our old Mole Variety Hour every Monday at 9 a.m., and, of course, the variety is in the variety of struggles from below that we cover. I'm talking today to Mike Alfoni, the director of Oregon Ranked Choice Voting. We've been discussing the virtues of ranked choice voting that the election system has just replaced our previous system, that is a choose-one election that deprived voters of meaningful choices and advanced candidates who lack broad support and leave many voters feeling like our voices are not heard. Mike, it seems to me that Portland elites have become really comfortable and lazy They dismissed the Charter Commission as just a lot of young people, which it was, politically active young people. And while the Oregonian newspaper railed against the proposal, the elites never organized a real vote no campaign till it was too late. I think they've learned something. They're now organizing. There's already been a clumsy, aborted attack on Portland's plan. But I predict the professionals will get active. Elite hostility is going to lead to a big campaign to nullify it in Portland. Then it's going to capitalize on any mistake and troubles in implementing it. And surely there's going to be some growing pains. Additionally, in this state, there's your coming state initiative for ranked choice voting and in all state and federal elections. There's going to be, my understanding, signatures will be collected soon. I predict that Portland's elites will try to, and Oregon's to, but in Portland, to qualify a local initiative to be decided in the same election as your state initiative. And they will spend big and could be formidable and hard to beat on both initiatives run by the elites. I'm sure you've thought about this. Tell us your thinking.
Sure. And, you know, I will say that on the, you know, the front of the Charter Commission, I think the perception that it was just a bunch of young politically active people's not fully correct. I mean, it was a very diverse group of people. It was a very diverse in terms of age. It was diverse in terms of people's background. The Charter Commissioners, and I think that's one thing, one myth I wanted to dispel. And the second is that, like, I want to ensure that, and I'm sure you know this, but that your listeners know that there were thousands of hours of work put into this. It involved countless attorneys, both nationally and locally, in terms of people who are experts in voting systems and people who are experts in rules here. It involved research studies being commissioned from, like, very well-respected academics and firms that do research on democracy. And this is both quantitative in terms of polling, in terms of, like, statistical analysis of the electorate here, in terms of, like, how to best represent people, in terms of doing focus groups across the city and listening sessions. It was an incredibly rigorous process. And I just want to put out that it wasn't just, you know, slapped together by some young activists. This is the most rigorous policy development process I have ever seen in my 20 years in working in politics. I just want to be clear about that. And so I think there's a misunderstanding that that all happened from some folks who are then concerned that it's not going to work, wherein every proposal that's been put forward by others is sort of off the cuff hasn't actually made much sense. And I think that's just a lack of understanding of the proportional representation system that we've been talking about and why it's beneficial. And so I would say that this has got pretty broad support from across the spectrum. And I think, you know, even Commissioner Gonzalez, who is one of the ones floating changes to the voters' will in the city council meeting, even he likes ranked choice voting. So I think that, like, it's become a much more mainstream thing. I just think that any time that there's change, it changes who is the seat at the table. And this can be a concern to those who currently hold power and who have the system currently working for them. And I think that's been a natural response for virtually every election reform ever. I know there was a lot of discomfort around vote by mail, you know, when that was coming around, and that turned out to be one of the best political innovations in the country in, you know, living memory. So in terms of running a campaign where they try and do another one, you know, I think that would probably be one of the least intelligent political moves I've seen in, again, a fairly long career. Voters approved this. There was a huge campaign for it involving dozens of, more than dozens of organizations, thousands of people. Voters are very tuned into what was going on. And I think it would do both our current and future elected officials a disservice, and certainly voters a disservice by creating confusion, by others trying to attempt to put a ballot measure on before this has even been implemented, trying to change it yet again at the last minute. Because anything else that tries to get, you know, anyone else trying to redo the changes will not have gone through the same rigorous process the Charter Review has gone through. Because this is complicated stuff. There's a lot of pieces that need to fit together. And just, like, randomly tweaking parts of it because you don't like a piece of it, because you don't understand it, is a terrible way to make policy and could have pretty disastrous outcomes. So I sincerely hope that won't happen. But in the event that it does, I'm very confident in our ability to beat back that, you know, any bad actors who attempt to change this before it's implemented.
I'm really good at worst case scenarios. I feel a little bit more optimistic now, a lot more optimistic. One final thing that my critical faculties have come up with. Let's switch gears to talk about democracy My sense is that ranked choice voting is an important step, especially when coupled with public financing of elections, at least at some level, as it will be in Portland. But ranked choice voting is not enough, it seems to me, to really dent the nature of American political society. The barriers to robust, authentic democracy in which people actively participate, they're enormous. There's inequalities of income. Most people, in fact, live precarious without savings, a heartbeat away from deep poverty. This majority of this country don't have a political party and, in fact, turn off to politics. Second, even for the relatively comfortable and secure, most waking time is devoted to family and school and work. These have been mostly top-down, although the 60s, in fact, don't really promoted and the companionate marriage and giving kids choices to the extent their development permits. Child rearing has become much more democratic. And the schools have cracked down on bullying to some extent and recognize young women's educational importance. But work, in the absence of strong unions, work is a dictatorship, basically, a tyranny run by the bosses. Workers have no say in the big decisions, even if it appears that labor and management seem to get along. So, Mike, seems to me after winning this victory for ranked choice voting, we have to struggle on so many fronts to make it meaningful. Mike Delfona, you get the last word.
Sure. I mean, you know, there's no one solution that's going to solve everything. But fundamentally, I think voters made the decision that we needed to restructure our government. And in fact, I think it's been long overdue. The upcoming changes that voters chose to implement are going to lead to a more representative democracy. We're going to see people who truly represent the diversity of Portland sitting on city council. So our city council will actually look like our city. And I think that we're going to see over time the positive effects this is going to have in terms of how well the city runs, how people view their city government, and how people interact politically here. I think one thing is, especially combined with vote by mail, where people can sit and read their ballots, combined with campaign finance reform, so that it is harder for candidates to become flush with money from one specific interest group or business group. I think we're just going to see an improvement in how people also view their government, and hopefully from that a rise in civic participation and voting. And thanks again for having me on the program today, Bill. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so that's all, folks. You heard from Mike Delfona, who directs Oregon Ranked Choice Voting, hard at work on a state initiative. Mike, thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks again for your time, and look forward to ranked choice voting on your ballot statewide in 2024.
Yes, you have my vote.
Thanks, Bill.